This episode of the Old Soul, New Soul Astrology Podcast is brought to you by the Fun Astrology 101 course. If you'd like to learn the language of astrology in a fun and easy way, go to funastrology.com and check out the 101 course. It's right there on the homepage. Welcome to the Old Soul, New Soul Astrology Podcast. Thomas Miller and Robert Glasscock, glad you are here. We're recording this in late March, early April 2024. Now, you may be listening to this a long ways down the road, but we have a big conjunction that is like the theme of 2024. So all of you who are listening in the year of 2024 are going to be interested in this. This is the big astrological aspect that everybody's been talking about for over a year. Jupiter, the planet of expansion, among other things, conjoins Uranus, the planet of surprises, among other things, in the sign of Taurus. And Robert has some thoughts on that, not only for those of us listening in real time, but also in general. Robert?
You got it, Thomas. This is the one for this year. Jupiter transiting Jupiter over transiting Uranus in the sign of Taurus, an earth sign. This is real physical reality. So physical events, physicalization of inspiration, if you will, breakthroughs, sudden events that turn your life in a whole new direction. And the house that it falls in your natal chart is key to it. So depending on your rising sign, you're going to have this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in a house that's very pertinent to pay attention to. This is one of those aspects, Jupiter and Uranus, that have to do with birth, physical births, babies. But if you're not in a birth baby-giving situation, you could be thinking about a figurative birth in your life. So this conjunction, this coming together of Jupiter with opportunity and expansion and success and aspirations, Jupiter coming together with Uranus, which is a big collective planet, can tie you in your own personal life to some big ideas that have been maybe bubbling beneath the surface, that around this conjunction, and you take an orb on either side of that, because Jupiter and Uranus are both fairly slow moving. But the month of April, for everybody on the planet, is going to see a sudden breakthrough of some kind. Now, generally, this aspect is very favorable. It can also indicate a sudden event that initially seems unfavorable, but in retrospect turns out to be a major positive turning point in life. But in general, this aspect is about the new birth of something. Usually it does pertain to two areas, love and money. So people who are in relationships, the month of April will see a turning point in the evolution of that relationship. And when I mentioned to you that sometimes it can look bad, for example, if you're in a relationship that has had a lot of undercurrents of issues that have not been dealt with, conflicts in values, for example, the relationship could break up under this aspect, and it could break your heart. And yet, in retrospect, you'll look back and think, you know, that was the best thing that could have happened. We were headed on a downhill negative path, broke up. Yes, it broke my heart, broke her heart or his heart, but boy, am I glad that we did, because we were headed for trouble. But that's relatively rare. This really is an aspect of opportunity if you pay attention to it. And it will often come either out of the blue or through unusual circumstances or when or through people that you least expected it. You don't necessarily really expect this, even though unconsciously you're aware that here in April, my life is going to change in some way that's very significant. Now, it's Taurus, fixed sign. So the actual evolution of what happens in April is long-term. And think that way. This is especially good for people who are creative, people who have wanted to be self-employed, people who want to go their own way in life versus the way that their society or their town or their parents or their partners are telling them to go. This is a time to strike out on your own, especially in business or in love, people who are not in a relationship. When this aspect of transiting Jupiter-Uranus conjunction hits in April, can suddenly find themselves attracted to somebody who, lo and behold, is equally attracted to them. And it could be the last thing that people like that who are not in a relationship ever thought would happen. So be on the lookout for unusual circumstances, and they will be unmistakable, especially, again, if you've got talents that you want to turn into a second income. This is the month to launch. If you've had a website that you want to put up to start your own business, this is the month, April. And it depends, again, on what house in your horoscope this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction hits. That's the house matters, ruled by that house, where you're going to see the results of this. But the main thing is, think of this as a major opportunity that, if you are aware of it and you build on it, could last forever.
I love the sound of that song you are singing. It's great. All right, let me ask you, I'm going to throw you a bit of a hook here, but just roll with this. If you went up to May 18th, all right, May 18th, the Sun and Jupiter conjoin. So obviously, as Jupiter separates from Uranus a little bit, the Sun enters Taurus and then catches Jupiter. For that conjunction on May 18th, would the Sun-Jupiter conjunction be stronger or the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction be stronger?
All right. It's an excellent question. And this, Thomas, this is why you're such a good astrologer. It's a great point to bring up. When the Sun comes along and goes over the conjunction point that Jupiter-Uranus were at, which is basically 21 Taurus, it's not May 18th, it's May 12th, when the Sun is exactly at 21-22 Taurus. The Sun is illumination, it's consciousness. So what begins, maybe in an unconventional way, what's the old line, expect the unexpected, here in April. Around May 12th, the light of consciousness will be crossing that same point. Now, you think about what the Sun symbolizes. It's not just consciousness. It's also people in positions of power, people in positions who can help you, sometimes prominent people, but people in a position who can help further what developed in April under this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. So think about, again, the house that is ruled by Leo in your horoscope, because someone related to that house in May, when the Sun goes over this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction point, will come into your life to help you realize your aims. Just on a personal level, though, around May 12th, when the Sun goes over this Jupiter-Uranus point, that's where you will get the full conscious and creative awareness of the significance in your life of what began under the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in April.
Excellent. Great. Awesome. Now, you mentioned orbs. What orb are you giving this for yourself?
Give yourself at least 2 weeks orb on either side of it. Some people will even go as far as a month on either side of it. But 2 weeks on either side of it, because Jupiter is a slow moving and Uranus is even more slowly moving. So they happen on April 21st. So in general, considering orbs, you can say the month of April is under the impact of this. So that's what I mean by orbs. And some people will experience this exactly on the day or within 2 or 3 days. Some people won't experience it until the Sun in May goes over this point, which is around May 12th. So that's what I mean by orbs. You know, we have to remember, as much as people want us to be machines and mechanical things like clockwork, astrology is not like clockwork. People have too many variables going. So you can look and see when an aspect is exact, but the idea of, oh, on that day, on that hour, this is going to happen, And it doesn't quite work that way, especially not with these outer planets. So you just have to give a little leeway. But that's what I mean by the orbs.
You know, when I lived down in St. Augustine Beach, Florida, I got to watch the surfers there. I'm not a surfer. In fact, there were enough people yelling in the water from jellyfish stings that I decided that the swimming pool was a lot better place for me. But I love the analogy of thinking about the surfers out there and the astrological current, you know, the energy. So when the wind is up, boy, they're out. When the wind is not, you know, we could go, we could not go. It's surfing. It's not precise, just as you're saying. It's not like you don't ride a wave a particular way. You catch the wind and you go. All right. The other thing I wanted to ask you, talk about applying toward the aspect. I'm going to use a couple of astrology terms and then we'll make it in real language. Applying and separating. So in those 2 weeks before the conjunction on the 20th, describe that energy, and then, boom, conjunction energy, the day of, and then as they start to pull apart.
Well, you're right. In general, any aspect that's applying is beginning to increase in strength in terms of its potency until it's exact. And then from exactness, as it separates from the conjunction, the influence wanes. So that's the basic definition of applying and separating. Things are strongest and most intense at the exact conjunction of things. Same thing applies to the eclipse that's coming up. The eclipse this year on April 8th is a new moon, essentially. So before the eclipse, the moon, which is a fast-moving planet from the Earth's perspective, the moon is appearing to apply to a conjunction with the sun. And it does that on April the 8th, when in fact, the moon gets between the Earth and the sun, which it always does with a new moon. But this time in North America, and for the first time in years, decades, the moon's disk along a certain path in North America will block out the entire disk of the sun along that path. And then after a couple of hours, the moon will, because it moves fast from Earth's perspective, will move past that exact conjunction. And the symbolism of that is simply this. Things that are applying are coming in. They get stronger when it's exact, strongest when it's exact. And from exact on, they get a little weaker. They recede. But the impact for the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction is going to be felt the entire month of April. And the impact of the eclipse on April 8th is going to be felt for at least 6 months.
A lot of times, the focus is often on the day, the conjunction itself. I've observed that a lot of times the day comes and goes. It is within this applying or separating energy that the action happens.
Always, always true. And a lot of that has to depend on where the moon is, because it moves, you know, one sign every 2.5 days. And then where transiting Mars is as well. And Mars often acts a little bit in advance of when the Mars aspect is exact.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, there are a lot of factors.
A lot of factors. Now, let's apply this to somebody's natal chart. So there were a lot of babies born yesterday, and there will be a lot of babies born April 1st to April 19th, and a lot of babies born on the 20th, the day of, and then the days after. So when you bring this to a natal chart, how does that energy apply, or how does that energy affect the life? Now we're not talking about a moment. We're talking about somebody's entire lifetime.
That's fascinating, because when you consider the symbolism of Uranus, which is the rebel, the progressive, the radical, the inventor, the originator, the genius, and you consider Jupiter, which has a lot to do with higher education, with aspirations, with politics, religion, and the law, this is all ruled by Jupiter. People born under this aspect are basically meant to carry the entire collective toward a new future, politically, economically, sociologically, vocationally, all of this. And because Uranus rules the internet and electronics and GPS and space travel and inventions and all of that. It's a technological planet, so people born under this conjunction are going to be the revolutionaries that Pluto now is going into Aquarius. The whole world order is changing. This is the generation that's going to break through all of the old paradigms. And when I say old paradigms, and this can be terrifying to some people, here's what's dying and here's what's being reborn. Democracy, communism, all of those things, these big paradigms for living. So these are huge problems that this generation born under this aspect will solve. But they're the original thinkers, the revolutionaries, they just don't. And this is on a very pragmatic material level. This is Taurus, the economy, money, value, food, water, shelter, all of the basic necessities of life. This is the if you look at what millennials are not buying cars like we used to. People are not buying homes. Like, it's in the top 50 markets in the United States now, it is more cost effective to rent than to buy. I just read this. So everything is changing. It's slow, but it's permanent. And these are the people that are going to carry us through. These are the inventors, the geniuses, and the radicals that are willing to break with tradition on every level. Traditional religion, traditional politics, traditional governments. So you're seeing this kind of uprising of new energy, new birth. And that's what the big symbolism here is. So I love this generation. Yeah. They'll also revolutionize the arts because it's Taurus. It's ruled by Venus. So creativity. Everybody today can make a movie on their iPhone.
Good one.
Yes.
Wow.
Two guys did this a few years ago in Hollywood. They made a movie on
their
iPhone
all the time.
And took it to Steven Spielberg, and Spielberg bought it and distributed it theatrically, a movie shot on an iPhone. So even those monopolies, Hollywood and Los Angeles sort of have a monopoly theoretically on mass entertainment, but that's not true. Anybody can make a movie today or produce a YouTube video and so on. So it's much more diversified. And I happen to love it. It's great for creativity and new thinking.
Yeah.
And that's what this is about.
Well, that's great. What a wonderful, wow, what a wonderful walkthrough and a wonderful anticipation of this shift. So those of you who have been wondering, are we going through a shift? I think you just heard that we are. And it's being guided and reflected as above, so below. As within, so without. And we are reflecting what's good. The sky is reflecting what's going on. Robert, thank you for that. Check out our show notes for everything else going on and Robert's link for a reading if you'd like to contact him for that. Thank you guys so much for joining us. What a wonderful time this is. And we'll see you next time on the Old Soul, New Soul Astrology Podcast with Robert Glasscock.